Okay, you know what?
What happened?
I didn't hit record.
Oh, we're gonna be late.
I hit the music, but I forget the record. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just start that intro again. Sorry. My bad.
It's all right. Don't worry.
Okay, hello and welcome to Hanging Out with Bob, podcast hosted by me, Bob at Home. Thanks for joining us, and let's get started. Maybe what I should say is welcome back to Hanging Out with Bob, because this episode is part two of our podcast on the Murray Warmath era, who was head football coach of the Gophers from 1954 through 1971. In part one, we covered the 1954 through 1962 seasons, and here in part two, we'll be covering the 1963 through 1971 seasons. And by we, I'm joined once again by my brothers, Dave and Tom at Home. They were guests on part one as well. Welcome back to Hanging Out with Bob, guys.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks,
and now Bob. That we are back, let's get back to part two of the Murray Warmath era at Minnesota. On to the 1963 season, the same year during which the U.S. Postal Service introduced its Zone Improvement Plan, otherwise known as the ZIP Code. Well, part one of this podcast ended with our talk about the 1962 football season for the Gophers, the ninth season under Warmath. The Gophers went 6-2-1 overall and 5-2 in the Big Ten, finishing second in the conference. And had they been able to beat Wisconsin in that final game of the season, the Gophers would have won the Big Ten Conference. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. But still a good year in 1962. Tom, how did the Gophers do in 1963, their 10th season under Murray Warmath?
Well, not nearly as well as they did in 62. They went 3-6 overall, 2-5 in the Big Ten to finish in ninth place. They were 3-2 at home, 0-4 on the road. But one of those home victories included a 24-8.
24, well...
That's the HVAC guy. I mean, that's a standard ductwork size. One of them included a 24-8 win over Army, and that's the first and only time those two teams have faced each other.
Right. Yeah, tough season for the Gophers. Who did win the Big Ten in 1963, Tom?
Illinois won the Big Ten with a 5-1-1 record, and they finished 8-1-1 overall. They finished the season ranked either third or fourth in the nation, depending on the poll, and they beat Washington 17-7 in the Rose Bowl. Texas won the national championship in 63.
And Dave, how did the Gophers draw at home in the 63 season?
They didn't draw too badly. Average attendance for five home games was 57,759. Season high for attendance was a game against Michigan, which I think in those days just carried more weight than any of our rivalry games at the time, yeah. At least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And the Gophers won that 6-0.
Okay. And then how did they do in their other two trophy games then?
They lost at Iowa 27-13, mm-hmm. and they beat Wisconsin 14-0 at home.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. You know, the thing I remember most about the 1963 season, unfortunately, was not so much the win-loss record. It was the final game of the season against Wisconsin. The game was originally scheduled for Saturday, November 23rd, 1963, but it was postponed due to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy the previous day on November 22nd, and was rescheduled for Thanksgiving Day, November 28th. Like you just said, Dave, the Gophers beat the Badgers 14-0. And by the way, the announced crowd at Memorial Stadium on that Thanksgiving Day at 10:30 a.m., mind you, was 55,271. Not bad for a Thanksgiving crowd. You always think about people leaving,
yes.
Especially students going home for that stuff. They still got a good crowd. So, there were two unanimous All-Americans that played against the Gophers in 1963. The first was a guy named Bob Brown. He was a senior guard from Nebraska, which beat the Gophers 14-7 that year. Brown went on to play 10 seasons as an offensive tackle in the NFL. He was inducted into both the College Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And the second player was Dick Butkus, then a junior center and linebacker from Illinois, and a two-way player. Still did that then. Well, they beat the visiting Gophers, I should say, 16-6. Did you guys know that Butkus initially wanted to play for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish? Hmm. Unfortunately for him and for Notre Dame, as it turns out, the team at the time frowned upon married players. Butkus was contemplating marriage to his high school sweetheart, but Notre Dame's policy ultimately led him to select Illinois. Can you imagine if he'd gone to Notre Dame instead?
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. And a future Viking who played against the Gophers in 1963, and that was Paul Kraus. He was a two-way starter as a wide receiver, running back, and defensive back with Iowa. Kraus was a second-round pick by Washington in the 1964 NFL Draft. He was traded to the Vikings in 1968 and played there for 12 seasons. He still holds the NFL record for interceptions with 81.
Wow.
Kraus is named to both the Iowa Sports Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But back to those 63 Gophers. Tackle Carl Eller, now a senior during that 63 season, was a consensus All-American and also named to the All-Big Ten first team. Eller was also awarded the Gophers Team MVP Award. And, of course, he played, went on to play for the Minnesota Vikings for 15 seasons. He's a member of both the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the College Football Hall of Fame. On to the 1964 season, the same year in which the Beatles first appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show. Dave, after that tough season in 1963, how did the Gophers do in their 11th season under Warmath in 64?
They actually improved. It was a good but not great year. They ended up going 5-4 overall, 4-3 in the Big Ten, tied with the Illini for fourth place, 3-2 record at home, and a 2-2 record on the road.
So who did win the Big Ten in 64?
Michigan won the Big Ten with a 6-1 record, and they finished 9-1 overall. They ended up finishing the season ranked number 4 in the nation. They beat Oregon State 34-7 in the Rose Bowl. And three teams actually shared the national title that year, Alabama, Arkansas, and Notre Dame, depending on the poll.
Okay. And Tom, how did the Gophers draw at home in 64?
Well, average attendance actually was down slightly for their five home games at 53,782. Their season high for attendance was, again, a game against Iowa, 62,514, and the Gophers won that game 14-13.
But that still amazes me about Iowa, how well their fans travel. They always have, too. Okay. And then how did the Gophers do in their other two trophy games, Tom?
Well, sadly, they lost them both. Mm-hmm. The Gophers lost at Michigan 19-12 and at Wisconsin 14-7.
Okay, thanks. So the Gophers lost their battles for the Little Brown Jug and Paul Bunyan's axe. They also lost a Big Ten battle to get home against Illinois, and they lost their season opener, also at home, in a non-conference game against Nebraska. Here are the consensus All-Americans that the Gophers faced in 1964. Larry Kramer, senior tackle from Nebraska. Kramer actually went to the Vikings training camp at 65, but he never played it down in the NFL. Instead, he went on to coach at several schools over 33 seasons. And once again, the Gophers met Dick Butkus, this time as a senior center and linebacker from Illinois. Butkus was a first-round draft pick for the Bears and third overall selection in 65, went on to play 9 seasons in the NFL with the Bears, and was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So he played his entire football career in Chicago, or Illinois. High school, Illinois for college, and then the Bears. So.
And even though I had obviously heard of Butkus when he was in college, I don't think I ever saw him play, other than maybe the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl, maybe.
But I just remember what he was like as a pro after he was injured. He was about as hard-nosed and tough a guy as has ever played.
And he only got 9 seasons because he played so much, and he got banged up pretty bad.
Very banged up.
Those knees of his must have been.
Well, remember, he was part of the wallpaper collage Dad put together.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
A couple of honors for Gopher players in that season. A two-way back named Craig Lofquist. I've been looking him up, and I cannot find anything. With a name like Lofquist, I got to believe he's from here, but that's not necessarily so. And then Aaron Brown.
Yes.
That year he was a junior. He was named to the All-Big Ten first team. And then a center by the name of Joe Pung, P-U-N-G, from St. Martin, Minnesota, which is near Painesville. He was awarded the Gophers Team MVP Award. He was a center. But that's the first time I found his name when I was researching. Rock, rock, sky, rock. On to the 65 season. It was the same year in which the Twins played the Dodgers in the World Series and lost in seven games.
No!
Tom, how did the Gophers do in their 12th season under Murray Warmath?
Well, they finished above 500 for the second straight year. They were 5-4-1 overall, 5-2 in the Big Ten. They tied with Purdue for third place. They went 4-2 at home and 1-2-1 on the road.
Okay. And then who did win the Big Ten in 65?
Michigan State won. They were 7-0, finished with a 10-1 overall record. Their only defeat that year was a 14-10 loss to UCLA in the Rose Bowl.
Hmm.
The Spartans shared the national championship with Alabama in 65, depending on the poll. And that 65 Michigan State team featured two All-American players who went on to star with the Vikings, running back Clint Jones and wide receiver Gene Washington, who was also part of the collage in the basement.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Well, Michigan State was loaded that year, too. Yeah. I mean, these were the two guys that came to play for the Vikings, but was it George Webster was one?
George Webster and Bubba Smith.
Yeah, I mean, they were loaded. They were loaded that year. So, Dave, how did the Gophers draw at home in the 65 season?
Well, attendance wasn't bad, but as we can kind of tell, it's steadily declining. Mm-hmm. They averaged for six home games 50,458, which is certainly not bad by today's standards, but the season high for attendance was a rivalry game against Michigan, 58,519, and the Gophers won that one 14-13.
Okay. And then how about their other two trophy games?
They won them both. Oh. So they won it at Iowa 14-3, and they beat Wisconsin at home 42-7.
Okay. Well, so the Gophers won all three of their trophies, the Little Brown Jug, Floyd of Rosedale, and Paul Bunyan's axe. Unfortunately, they lost to Ohio State, which finished second in the Big Ten at 6-1. And Purdue, who tied for third with the Gophers at 5-2. Their other two losses, both at home, were non-conference games against Washington and Missouri. They tied Southern Cal in their season opener at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. And here are the unanimous or consensus All-Americans that the Gophers faced in 1965. Mike Garrett, running back with Southern Cal, who also won the Heisman Trophy that year. He was a unanimous All-American. He went on to play for eight seasons in the NFL, first with the Chiefs and then later with the Chargers. A guy named Johnny Rowland, he was a running back with Missouri, which beat the Gophers 17-6 at Memorial Stadium. A consensus All-American, he went on to play seven seasons with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was the NFL Rookie of the Year in 1966, which I did not know, and 1 year with the New York Giants. Then a guy by the name of Bill Yerby, senior defensive tackle with Michigan, and consensus All-American. First-round draft pick in the NFL draft by the Jets, but he played just one season and was plagued by an injured knee. That's probably why we never heard of him. And then a guy named Bob Greasy, junior quarterback with Purdue, which beat the visiting Gophers 35-0. He was also a consensus All-American in 65. Greasy, of course, went on to play for the Dolphins for 14 years. Led them to two Super Bowl championships. The second one we'd rather not talk about because that was one against the Vikings. Obviously, with that success, Greasy was elected the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well. So, regarding individual honors for the Gophers that year, Aaron Brown was named a consensus All-American, was also named to the All-Big Ten first team, and he went on to play in the NFL as well as the Chiefs. So.
Chiefs.
Remember a quarterback named John Hankinson?
I do.
He was he won the Gophers team MVP that award.
Was he Edina?
He was an Edina guy, yeah. Okay. I still remember him playing in some kind of all-star game on TV, like a New Year's Day, like a blue-gray or north-south or something. And Chris Schenkel, the announcer for ABC, said he was from Edina, Minnesota.
I remember one other thing about 65. If I'm not mistaken, at Mike Garrett for USC, I remember actually listening to that game on the radio with Dad and with you guys. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the first running backs. USC had this succession of incredible running backs.
Yeah, right.
He was one of the first ones, I think, that kind of started that trend.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Simpson came along, and it's like they were always getting somebody. Charles White.
Yes, Marcus Allen.
Yeah, who was that? Ricky? Yeah, he played for Tampa.
Ricky Davis? No, Ricky.
Yeah, well, it'll come to us.
Can't remember his name, but Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Right, another one. Okay.
Rock, rock, sky, rock, 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 rock.
All right, so on to the 66 season, the year in which the average cost of a new home was $23,300. The Gophers had finished above 500 in the two previous seasons. Dave, how did the Gophers do in 1966, their 13th season under Warmath?
They were kind of right in the middle, not as well as they did in 65. They went 4-5-1 overall, 3-3-1 in the Big Ten for fifth place.
Okay.
They were 3-2 at home, 1-3-1 on the road.
And who won the Big Ten that year?
I recall Michigan State ended up repeating as Big Ten champs, and I think that they obviously had success, you know, nationally as well. They went 7-0, 9-0-1 overall. They shared the national title with Notre Dame. It depended on the poll. Even when the two teams met in regular season, the game ended in a 10-10 tie.
Mm.
And at the time, Big Ten rules barred the same team from representing the conference in the Rose Bowl in consecutive seasons and barred teams from appearing in any bowl game other than the Rose Bowl.
It's like the Rose Bowl or nothing. You can't go 2 years in a row. Yeah.
As a result, Michigan State was ineligible to play in the Rose Bowl or any other bowl game.
Go 9-0-1 overall and you're done.
Exactly. The former rule, not playing in the Rose Bowl in consecutive seasons, was finally rescinded in 1972. And the latter, not playing in any other bowl game other than the Rose Bowl, was rescinded in 1975.
Okay.
And FYI, Purdue, which went to the Rose Bowl instead of Michigan State, beat Southern Cal and Mike Garrett 14-13.
Mm-hmm. I remember that game. We went to Grandma and Grandpa Ed Holmes to watch that game in their little apartment on University Avenue. Tom was like 3 years old or something. But I remember watching that game on their little black and white TV. But I remember, you know, Purdue pulled it out and Greasy was quarterback.
Yes.
So,
cool.
Tom, how did the Gophers draw it home in the 66 season?
Well, the downward trend kind of continued. Not by much, but a bit. Their average attendance for the five home games was 49,600. Season high for attendance was against Iowa. Shocker there, right? But which the Gophers won 17-0.
I should just record your voice saying Iowa and then just do the drop. You know? The season high was against Iowa. Okay. God bless the Iowegians, I guess, about the average. And then how did the Gophers do in their other two trophy games in 66?
Yeah, they were 0-4 in those again. They got killed at Michigan 49-0 and also lost at Wisconsin 7-6.
I remember Dad having that game on the radio. And I think that was the first time.
Was it Michigan?
Yeah, against Michigan, 49-0. I remember thinking, I've never heard of a Gopher team getting beat that bad. You know,
but it seemed like that was
starting to change.
That was when things really started to turn. Where Michigan and Ohio State were so dominant.
Right. Yep. So the Gophers were 1-2-1 and winless in the Big Ten in '66 before they beat Iowa at home on October 15th. They'd lost their season opener at Missouri 24-0. Missouri had some good football, or at least against the Gophers. I don't remember them ever beating Missouri. They beat Stanford and lost to Kansas, both at home, and then tied Indiana 7-7 on the road. They were also shut out 16-0 at home to Purdue before they lost a final game on the road at Wisconsin. On the other hand, though, they actually beat Ohio State at home 17-7. Ohio State. The Buckeyes that year, though, were 3-4 in the Big Ten. And 4-5 overall in 1966. But still, a win over Ohio State in any year is a good thing, right? One thing, I didn't have this in my notes, but I think I remember reading something from, I think Royce had written about it. For some reason, Warmath and Woody Hayes had a certain amount of respect for each other in that they never wanted to play each other. Because all during the 60s, they didn't play Ohio State. You know, it wasn't an annual thing. You know, they'd schedule the other Big Ten teams, and they'd always schedule good non-conference games, but they just hardly ever played, you know, in the 60s. It was weird. There was one consensus All-American who the Gophers faced in 1966, and his name was Jack Clancy. He was a senior receiver with Michigan, went on to play four seasons of pro football, three with the Dolphins and one with the Packers. He had a great rookie season at Miami. In fact, he and Bob Greasy were both rookies there in 1967. But he had some knee problems that plagued him during most of his time in the pros, so... No Gophers were named to the All-American or All-Big Ten teams in 1966. A linebacker by the name of Tim Wheeler from Richfield was awarded the Gopher team's MVP award. Okay, on to the 1967 season, same year in which podcaster Joe Rogan, ESPN Stephen A. Smith and comic actor Will Ferrell were born. 1967. So, Tom, after their disappointing season in 1966, how did the Gophers do in 1967, their 14th season under Murray Warmath?
Well, they had a solid season in 67. They went 8-2 overall, 6-1 in the Big Ten, tied for the conference championship with Indiana and Purdue. They were 6-0 at home, 2-2 on the road. Those losses coming in a close one at Nebraska, 7-0, but they got thumped pretty good at Purdue, 41-12. Purdue would have won the Big Ten championship outright with a win over Indiana in the last game of the season, but the Boilermakers lost to Indiana 19-14. Because the Hoosiers had never been to the Rose Bowl, they got to go to Pasadena and not the Gophers. The Gophers finished the season ranked number 18 in the country. Somewhat surprising, 18 since Indiana finished 4th or 6th in the nation, depending on the poll, and Purdue finished 9th. Southern Cal, which defeated Indiana 14-3 in the Rose Bowl, won the national championship in 67.
And Dave, how did the Gophers draw at home in the 67 season?
Well, for the first time, the drop-off in attendance was dramatic. It was almost 10,000 fans less than the previous year. They averaged 39,633. Incredibly low, considering that the Gophers had won a share of the Big Ten championship. And that was the first year that I ever attended a game in person. I saw them actually beat Michigan in a very close game. I caught an extra point when they were playing against Indiana, and you had to give the ball back then. They throttled Indiana. They beat them badly.
I remember.
And one of the most surprising upsets that I can remember, you know, from that era was when Purdue went to Indiana and ended up losing. It was shocking because Purdue had Leroy Keyes. Just had a great team. Yeah. And was Greasy still quarterback?
No, Greasy was in the NFL.
He was in the NFL. Yeah. But that was a real shocker. It just goes to show that you can never. Especially in rivalry games, you never really know what's going to happen. Yep. Season-high attendance was against Michigan State. They had 56,000, and the Gophers won that game 21-0.
And then how did they do in their other trophy games, Dave, in 67?
They ended up, they went 2-0. They beat Iowa 10-0 on the road, and they won Floyd Rosedale for the fourth consecutive year and beat Wisconsin 21-14 at home.
Okay. So the 1967 season for the Gophers was, for me, unforgettable. I loved it. Dave, you and I, like I said, we saw at least a couple of home games together at Memorial Stadium. I went to the Michigan and Indiana games, both games. Did you go to any others?
Was that the Wisconsin? Pretty sure that was the game in 67 where that guy actually injured his knee.
Gangrene had to have it amputated.
He was a Wisconsin D-back named Mel Walker.
Yes.
And I did go to that game. I think that was also the game where I ran across the field with Jim and John Rock right during the middle of the game. Because there was a fight. There was a fight that it broke out between the Gophers and Wisconsin, and we just decided we were going to run right across the middle of the field, and we did, dodging players. We didn't even get kicked out. Because the Boy Scout leader screamed at us, but he was too busy watching the fight to chase us down.
Nice. Oh, man. Yeah, the Gophers played really well for most of that 67 season. And while the AP had the Gophers ranked 18th in the nation in their final poll, the coaches' poll had them ranked 14th. I still thought they should have been higher, but anyway. Anyway, in the Gophers' narrow 7-0 loss in Nebraska, a then record crowd of 65,361 was in Lincoln to watch it. I think now they can get almost 100,000 again. Mm-hmm. They've really expanded.
Not over 90.
Okay.
Yep.
The Gophers won all three of their trophy games, which is great. Their only bad game was that 41-12 loss at Purdue. Oh, Big Ten passing leader Mike Phipps, that was a quarterback. He shredded the Gophers that day with 475 yards. That's a lot for a college quarterback.
Was Greasy kind of the first guy that kind of started Purdue being the quarterback?
Good point. That's a good point, But you also can't forget, at least I'll never forget, that Purdue, which had been favored to beat Indiana in this final game, fumbled the ball away at the Indiana 4-yard line late in the game and lost.
I had no clue.
Which meant that Indiana, not the Gophers, would be going to the Rose Bowl. And that would have meant Purdue would have won the Big Ten, but we could have gone to the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
but it didn't work out that way. So there was one unanimous All-American that the Gophers faced in 1967. That was Leroy Keyes, then a junior running back with Purdue. Lots of individual honors for the Gophers during that 1967 season. And Bob Stein from St. Louis Park was one of seven defensive ends who were selected as All-American. Along with Stein, tackle John Williams, remember that name?
I do.
From Jackson, Mississippi. Another tackle, McKinley Boston, Mac Boston, from Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And a back named Tom Sakel from Beaver County, Pennsylvania, were named to the All-Big Ten first team. And Sakel was also awarded the Gophers Team MVP Award that year.
I don't remember that name.
I don't remember that name either. No, I don't. And we went to those games, so yeah. I mean, I remember
Kurt Bob Wilson was the quarterback.
Yep, and George Kemp was one of the running backs, yes. The kid that we...
Jim Carter?
Played. Yep.
Was Carter on
Carter
that team?
Yeah, Carter was still on. Yeah, yeah, so... On to the 1968 season, a time when a gallon of regular leaded gasoline was 34 cents. 34, which is exactly half of the number 68, right? Okay, that's why I tied that one in. Okay, Dave, how did the Gophers do in 1968, their 15th season under Warmath?
They finished above 500 at least. They went 6-4 overall, 5-2 in the Big Ten, tied with Purdue for third place. They went 3-3 at home and 3-1 on the road.
And then who won the Big Ten in 68?
Ohio State won the Big Ten, going 7-0 and 10-0 overall. Mm-hmm. And they went on to beat Southern Cal 27-16 in the Rose Bowl, and they won the national title in 1968.
Oh, man, a perfect season. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty good. And then, Tom, how'd the Gophers do at home that year?
Well, attendance actually rebounded nicely for their six home games. They averaged 52,134.
That is a big jump from 39-plus yep. to 52, yeah.
Yeah. Season high for attendance was a game against Southern Cal. They had over 60,000 for that, but the Gophers lost that game 29-20. In that game, USC had a running back named O.J. Simpson.
And Dave, you were at that game, right?
I was at that game with Uncle Joe.
Okay. I listened to it on the radio with Dad.
But, and they had that famous play with was it George Kemp to John Wintermute? And they lateraled it. It was a kickoff. They lateraled it all the way across the field.
Yeah, it wasn't an underhand ladder. It was a pass.
A long pass.
Yeah, yep.
So.
And then, Tom, how did the Gophers do in their three trophy games in 68?
Well, they were 1-3. They lost at Michigan 33-20. They lost at home to Iowa 35-28 and won at Wisconsin 23-15.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, the Gophers had an up-and-down season in 68, or maybe I should say a down-and-up season. They lost their first two games, Southern Cal and Nebraska, both at home, won their next three, Wake Forest and Illinois at home, Michigan State on the road, lost their next two, Michigan on the road and Iowa at home, and then won their last three, Purdue at home and Indiana and Wisconsin on the road. I remember the win over Purdue. It was on TV, our black and white TV, in that den in the house on Chatham. Yeah. And in that game, I remember Gopher running back Jim Carter out of South St. Paul, Minnesota, took a handoff at about the Purdue 49-yard line and ran over, I'm not kidding, literally ran over like three would-be tacklers for a touchdown.
Wow.
And Leroy Keyes was playing in that game, but Carter made that run. It was incredible.
Do you recall seeing him in high school?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just going to bring it up.
Bring that up.
Were you at that game? I was in sixth grade, Tom. Obviously hadn't started school yet. The Heights was playing South St. Paul in a Friday afternoon game. They hadn't put the lights up at the field yet. And I remember Heights actually had a lead. They were up like, I don't know, 14-0 or something like that. But all of a sudden, and South St. Paul had that, is it triple wing? Some kind of offense where the quarterback didn't take the snap under center.
It was single kind wing.
Of a, single wing. Thank you, thank you. And Carter, they kept feeding the ball to Carter, and he was so big. He was at least 6'3", probably 220. He would literally, there were Heights guys that were on his back.
And hanging on his ankles.
Yeah, and he was like, they couldn't bring him down. It was like
he's playing against little kids.
And Heights had a good team. Larry Link was on the team, and Bruce Nelson. And I mean, they were a good team, but South St. Paul with Carter, forget it. And I knew he was going to be a good player someday. You could just tell. And fortunately.
Real good hockey player, too.
Yeah. Well, here are the consensus or unanimous All-Americans that the Gophers faced in 68. Tom, you mentioned before, O.J. Simpson, senior running back with Southern Cal, won the Heisman that year, went on to have an amazing career in the NFL, where all but two, but and most of his, I should say, all but two of his 13 years are with the Bills. I think he finished up with the Niners or something toward the end. His individual accomplishments are a mile long, although he only played in one playoff game and never got to the Super Bowl. The
Bills were terrible.
He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but his fame as a football player and later his commercials and acting were overshadowed by the 1994 murder of two people, one of whom was his ex-wife. I think I'll just leave it at that. And again, Leroy Keyes was a running back with Purdue, a unanimous All-American pick in 68. He went on to play five seasons in the NFL, four with the Eagles and one with the Chiefs. But actually, for being the third overall pick in the 1969 AFL/NFL draft, he was what you might call a bust in the pros. I don't remember him doing anything in the NFL. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. You know, Then a guy named Chuck Kyle, he was a senior middle guard, also at Purdue, consensus All-American, drafted by the Cowboys in 69 but waived, went on to play 3 years in the Canadian Football League, then signed as a free agent with the Jets in 72 but got injured and was waived again. So there's no guarantee, you know, just you might be a great college player, not necessarily in the pros. So, and a future Viking that the Gophers faced in 1968, Dennis Green, then a sophomore starting halfback at Iowa. As any Vikings fan knows, Dennis Green would someday be head coach of the Vikings from 1992 to 2001.
And an underrated drummer.
Yeah, any great drum solo he could match. He could match it.
Drumming Denny.
Sticks.
For a second straight year, and Bob Stein was named an All-American and also All-Big Ten first team. Gophers teammate Dick Enderle, a guard from Breckenridge, Minnesota, and linebacker Noel Jenke from Owatonna, Minnesota, were also named to the All-Big Ten first team. And then a linebacker named Wayne King, and I cannot find anything on him. He was awarded the Gophers team MVP award. He was a linebacker, Wayne King. I don't know if he's a Michigan guy, or I don't know, Wayne King. You can find out. Tell me. Okay, on to the 1969 season, the same year that astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon. In 1969, the Gophers and most other teams, to commemorate the 100th anniversary of college football, wore a special decal on their helmets featuring the numerals 100 inside a football-shaped thing on the helmet. I remember that, yeah. And then, Tom, how did the Gophers do in 69, their 16th season under Murray Warmath?
Well, nothing to write home about. They ended up finishing 4-5-1 overall, 4-3 in the Big Ten, which was good for a fourth-place finish. They went 2-2-1 at home and 2-3 on the road.
Okay. And then who won the Big Ten that year?
Ohio State and Michigan tied for the conference championship. Both had 6-1 records. Mm. The Buckeyes went 8-1 overall, finished the season ranked fourth or fifth, depending on the poll. The Wolverines went 8-3 overall and finished the season ranked eighth or ninth, depending on the poll. Michigan lost to Southern Cal in the Rose Bowl 10-3. Texas ended up winning the national championship that year.
Okay. And, Dave, how did the Gophers draw at home in 69?
Well, they crept back up a little bit with attendance. Average for five home games was 45,417. Season high for attendance was a game against Ohio State, 52,972, and they beat the Gophers pretty handily, 34-7.
If I'm not mistaken, Dave, wasn't that the first year you and I had season tickets
yes.
in the end zone? Okay, yeah,
yes.
The bowl end, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think I remember that Ohio State game, in fact. So.
Yep.
And then how did the Gophers do in their three trophy games?
They won 2 of 3. They lost to Michigan at home 35-9. They beat Iowa on the road 35-8, and they beat Wisconsin at home 35-10.
Okay. So 69 was another down and up season. They were winless in their first six games. Mm-hmm. They lost a season opener at Arizona State. That was probably back when Frank Cush was coaching, I would imagine.
I remember that game.
Yep. They tied Ohio University, not to be confused with the Ohio State University, in their home opener. I remember it was like 35-35, and they just traded touchdowns.
We were at that game.
Yep, yep. Then they lost road games at Nebraska and Indiana. The skid continued with losses at home against Ohio State and Michigan, so they were 0-5-1. But fortunately, the Gophers salvaged at least a part of their 69 season by winning their last four games at Iowa, home against Northwestern, at Michigan State, and home against Wisconsin. And for unanimous or consensus All-Americans that year, a guy named Jim Mandich, senior tight end with Michigan, he was a unanimous All-American. Played 9 seasons in the NFL, 8 with the Dolphins, 1 with the Steelers, and won 3 Super Bowl championship rings. Mm. 2 with the Dolphins, 1 Steelers. Right place, right time, huh? Mm. Guy named Tom Curtis, senior defensive back, also with Michigan. He was a consensus All-American. Played a couple seasons in the NFL with the Colts and received a Super Bowl ring in Super Bowl V. Remember that one? They beat Dallas. And Jim O'Brien, the straight-on kicker.
Worst Super Bowl ever.
Straight-on kicker winning field goal,
right.
I remember. So.
That's right.
But he had knee problems, Tom Curtis, and he didn't stay long in the NFL. And then I want to bring up this guy because I don't remember him at all. Jim Otis. He was a running back for Ohio State, which beat the Gophers 34-7. He was a consensus All-American, went on to play 9 seasons in the NFL, last 6 with the Cardinals. And the reason I'm bringing him up, guys, is in 1975, okay, he rushed for an NFC-leading 1,076 yards. He beat the Vikings' Chuck Foreman by 6 yards, wow, which prevented Foreman, who led the NFC in touchdowns and receptions that year, from achieving a rare triple crown of sorts.
Wow.
Jim Otis.
Who did he play for in the NFL?
Cardinals.
Cardinals,
yeah.
I remember that now.
Yeah. Then a guy named Jim Stillwagon. Then a junior middle guard.
I remember him.
Also with Ohio State. He was a consensus All-American. And then this Buckeye, I know you've heard of, Jack Tatum. Yep.
Yes.
Junior defensive back who is also used as a linebacker. A unanimous All-American. And only a junior that year. So, and then for the second straight year, future Vikings head coach Dennis Green.
Wow.
Back at Iowa. And then for the Gophers, a tight end by the name of Ray Parson, not Parsons, but just Parson.
I remember
him. From Uniontown, Pennsylvania, was a second-team All-American and first-team All-Big Ten in 1969. He was also awarded the Gophers Team MVP Award, drafted by the Lions in 1970, but he played only 2 years in the NFL and 1 year in the World Football League due to knee issues that forced him to retire from the
game.
Did
he play hoops, too,
the Gophers? I think you and I talked about this earlier. He had a chance to play for Bill Fitch with the Gophers. But in the last game of the season against Wisconsin, he hurt his knee.
Oh.
So he didn't play.
Hmm.
And then in the college, remember when the college All-Stars would play the Super Bowl champs? Mm-hmm. They played the Chiefs, and he hurt his knee in that game.
Hmm.
And so he was always having knee issues. And like I said, he only played a couple years in the NFL and World Football League. So, And like I told you, interesting sidebar, he is married to Clyde Turner's sister.
Wow.
Clyde Turner played basketball for the Gophers in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And here's a little sidebar for you guys. The 1969 Gophers football squad had an offensive lineman and defensive tackle named Richard Fleer, last name spelled F-L-I-E-H-R. He lived throughout his childhood in the Twin Cities suburbs, but after 9th grade, he attended Whalen Academy, a boarding school in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, about 50 miles northeast of Madison, for 4 years, where he participated in wrestling, football, and track. He was heavily recruited as a football player out of high school and earned a scholarship to play for the Gophers. However, he only played for a short time at the U. He dropped out of school when his grades made him academically ineligible for the team. So why am I spending so much time talking about this guy? Well, this guy eventually changed the spelling of his last name and went on to become better known as professional wrestler Ric Flair, the Nature nice. Boy.
Wow.
So he was basically, he did nothing but the Gophers.
Yeah.
Flunked out.
And he went to a boarding school in high school.
Yeah, he probably was a discipline problem.
I would guess. Thinking.
So they sent him to a military school to, you know.
They've never seen
looked
those.
Nothing like he turned out to be. He's so much slimmer when he wrestled. And, I mean, he found his niche.
The nature boy.
He was a long way from the nature boy back
The pictures of him, he would
well, yeah,
never
dark
know.
Hair, too.
Yeah, it was dark. Yeah. It wasn't bleached. So.
That is funny.
Richard Fleer.
Woo. Golden Gopher.
one of War Mass recruits, though.
Yeah. Woo!
Okay, on to the 1970 season. When the annual tuition for an undergrad at the U was just over $500.
What?
Anyway.
That's a laugh.
A lot of Gophers were hoping those last four wins of the 1969 season would give the team some momentum going into the next season. But Dave, what actually happened to the Gophers in the 1970 season? They're 17th under Warmath.
It was a step backward for the Gophers in Warmath. They ended up going 3-6-1 overall, 2-4-1 in the Big Ten for seventh place. Mm. They did go 3-1-1 at home, 0-5 on the but 0-5 on the road.
Mm. Wow. And then who won the Big Ten that year?
Ohio State won the conference championship with a 7-0 record. They also went 9-1 overall and finished the season ranked either first, second, or fifth in the nation, depending on the poll. Mm. Ohio State went on to lose to Stanford in the Rose Bowl, 27-17. Mm-hmm. And I seem to remember a guy named Plunkett might have been
Jim
playing.
Jim Plunkett, yep, yep.
Nebraska, Texas, and Ohio State shared the national championship in 1970, again, depending on the poll.
Okay, Tom, and how did the Gophers draw at home in 1970?
Well, pretty similar to 69. Their average attendance for their five home games was 45,093. Their season high for attendance was the game against Nebraska. They had 52,500 for that. Gophers got beat in that game 35-10.
Mm, okay. And then how did they do in their trophy games in 1970?
Yeah, not very well. They lost at Michigan 39-13. They tied Iowa 14-14 at home, and they lost at Wisconsin 39-14.
So another not-so-great season for the Gophers in 1970. They managed to beat Ohio University this time in their home opener, 49-7, but they lost their other two non-conference games, at Missouri and at home against Nebraska. Their two Big Ten wins were at home against Indiana and Michigan State. Like you said, Tom, they tied Iowa at home, but the Gophers lost all four Big Ten road games at Ohio State, Michigan, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Here are the unanimous consensus All-Americans the Gophers faced in 1970. Once again, Jack Tatum, as a senior defensive back with Ohio State. He was unanimous that year again. He was a first-round pick with the Raiders and went on to play 10 seasons in the NFL. He was voted to three consecutive Pro Bowls in the 70s and played in one Super Bowl-winning team in his ninth season with the Raiders. But let's be honest, Jack Tatum is mostly known for that hit he made against New England Patriots, the wide receiver Darrell Stingley, in the preseason game that paralyzed Stingley from the neck down. And in Super Bowl XI, of course, in 1977, Tatum knocked the helmet off of wide receiver Sammy White of the Vikings. Yep. And that's often regarded as one of the biggest hits in Super Bowl history. So
yes.
Tatum, though, after he got done with football, he suffered from diabetes terribly. I think he had to have his toes and feet amputated. He had kidney problems. In fact, he was waiting for a kidney transplant when he suffered a fatal heart attack. He was only 61.
Didn't know that.
Isn't it amazing the guy that strong and seemingly healthy with those kinds of health issues?
I remember seeing him warm up at one of the games at Memorial Stadium, and if there was ever a prototype for what a football player should look like, even the way he filled out a uniform, it was him.
He was amazing. He was amazing.
Just an amazing athlete. But no restrictions at all, it seemed, on the hits back then.
Stopped me was he hurt Stingley in a preseason game.
Preseason.
And now those guys, it's like playing flag football now. Yeah. They don't want to get hurt. It's just totally different mindset.
Totally different.
Yeah. Another unanimous All-American there was Jim Stillwagon out of Ohio State. He made it the senior middle guard. You know, it's funny. He was only a fifth-round pick by the Packers. He was considered too small for the NFL. He was 6 feet, 220, and he was playing like a linebacker, a middle guard. So he ended up going to Canada and played for the Toronto Argonauts for 5 years, but injuries cut his career short. Remember Dan Dierdorf
from
Michigan? He was a consensus All-American, played 13 years with the Cardinals. Five times a first-team All-Pro, in the Hall of Fame, obviously. Held a variety of broadcasting jobs from 1984 to 2021, including 12 seasons on Monday Night Football. That's where I remember him the most. And then finally, a consensus All-American named Bob Newton from Nebraska. He played 11 years in the NFL, five with the Bears and six with the Seahawks. And for the third straight season, Dennis Green. For Iowa. He was their halfback. So, and then, so it would be 21 years and 2 months later, on January 10th, 1992, Dennis Green would be named the new Vikings head coach, the new sheriff in town. For individual honors for the Gophers, linebacker Bill Light from Hopkins and defensive back Jeff Wright. from Edina were all Big Ten first team. Yep.
Remember
Wright also was awarded the Gopher team's MVP in 70 and went on to play safety for the Vikings from 71 to 77 and appeared in three Super Bowls. Good.
What? Was Jeff Wright on the Edina basketball teams?
Yep. I'm just going to say he was just a great athlete.
Great athlete. So.
Okay, and now we come to the 1971 season. Let's mention something happy that happened in 1971, okay? Disney World in Florida opened in 1971. Okay, Tom, how'd the Gophers do in 71, their 18th and final season under Murray Warmath?
Well, unfortunately, not very good. They went 4-7 overall, 3-5 in the Big Ten, tied for sixth place with Wisconsin and Purdue. They went 3-3 at home and 1-4 on the road. Mm.
And who won the Big Ten in 71?
Michigan won that year with an 8-0 record. They went 11-1 overall, finished the season either fourth or sixth in the nation, depending on the poll. Michigan won. They went on to lose to Stanford in the Rose Bowl 13-12. Nebraska won the national championship in 71.
Okay. And Dave, how was attendance in 71? I'm almost afraid to ask.
Yeah, it was a big drop off. Definitely the low water mark. They averaged for six home games only 34,610 fans. Oof. Lowest average attendance per home game in Warmath's 18 seasons. Mm-hmm. Season high for attendance was a game against Michigan in which they drew 44,412, but the Gophers lost 35-7.
Okay. And then how did they do in their other two trophy games?
Well, that was a bright spot. They ended up winning them both. They beat Iowa on the road, and they defeated Wisconsin 23-21 at home.
Hmm. So a tough season for the Gophers in 1971, as it turned out, to be the final season for Murray Warmath as head coach. After winning their season opener at home against Indiana, they lost two non-conference games at Nebraska and at home against Washington State, then won a non-conference game at home against Kansas. But except for their trophy wins against Iowa and Wisconsin, the Gophers lost five of their last seven games at Purdue, Northwestern, and Michigan State, and at home against Michigan and Ohio State. Consensus or unanimous All-Americans that year? Let's start with Johnny Rogers from Nebraska. He was only a junior. Consensus that year, but he would go on to be unanimous in 72. He also won the Heisman Trophy that year. You know, even though he was a first-round draft pick with the Chargers in 73, he went to Canada and played four seasons with the Montreal Alouettes, including a Grey Cup championship in 74. He finally signed with the Chargers in 1977, but injuries limited him to just 17 games over two seasons. This was a good year for Nebraska, besides the national championship. A guy named Larry Jacobson, a defensive tackle, was a consensus All-American, went on to play in the NFL. Willie Harper, a junior defensive end from Nebraska, consensus All-American. Mike Taylor from Michigan, he's a linebacker. He was unanimous that year. Played with the Jets in the NFL and the World Football League as well. And Reggie McKenzie, I know you've heard of him. He was consensus All-American
From Michigan. He blocked for OJ.
He was on that electric company line, they called it. Yeah. You know, it helped him get his 2,000 yards. Gophers tight end Doug Kingsrider from Richfield was named a first-team All-American in 71. And in addition, he and linebacker Bill Light, again from Hopkins, were named to the All-Big Ten first team. And then a defensive end named Tom Chandler from Pasadena, Texas, was awarded the Gopher team's MVP award. Well, guys, we've made it through each of Murray Warmath's 18 seasons at Minnesota. Warmath was one of the most successful coaches in Gophers history. As we mentioned in part one of this broadcast, he led the team to two Big Ten titles and two Rose Bowls. He's the last Gopher coach to win a national championship, a Big Ten title, or a Rose Bowl. Warmath might have served 18 years as head coach at Minnesota, but would either of you guys happen to know which Gophers head football coach was there the longest? If you know this one, you guys are genius level. I had to look it up.
I don't know how long Bierman was there.
That would have been my first choice, but...
Wasn't Wes Fessler.
No. He stayed for Paul Giel. That's a
I was thinking of guessing him.
Yeah.
Wes Fessler.
Who was before Bierman?
Well, there were a few. I'll be shocked if you've even heard of this guy. But it was Henry L. Williams, who coached a Gopher football team from 1900 to 1921, way before our time, even before our dad's time. And believe it or not, Henry L. Williams is the man for whom Williams Arena
is named
barn,
after.
Is named.
I never knew
not
that.
Named after Ted Williams or Robin Williams or even Andy Williams, but a football coach. So I thought that was interesting. But back to Warmath. In his 18 seasons in Minnesota, his team's amassed an 87-78-7 record, which is 526 percentage. So it's a little above 500. But he won 8 games in the season 3 different times. And he compiled a career record of 97-84-10. That must be including Mississippi State. Following the 1971 season, Cal Stahl was hired as coach of the Gophers. Warmath was made an assistant to the athletic director. He stayed in that role until 1978. Do you guys know where Warmath went after that, 1978?
I don't know.
Well, he stayed in Minnesota. He took a job with the Vikings as an assistant coach. The defensive line coach, Bud Grant, hired him. He replaced a guy named Buddy Ryan.
Wow.
Warmath held that job as defensive line coach for 2 seasons before becoming a regional scout for the team. So that means Warmath became an assistant coach with the Vikings at the age of 65 or so.
Wow.
Good for him.
Cool.
Okay. Do either of you guys remember reading about Warmath taking that job as an assistant coach? I was living in Iowa at the time, so
I faintly do remember he coached them. It wasn't for very long, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I remember reading
2 years, I think.
Yeah, right? A couple of years. Yeah. I remember when it came back. It must have been in the Tribune, but Carl Eller, they quoted him. He loved the idea of getting back with Murray because he was a college coach.
Sure.
After 15 years, they get back together. Right. So. In 1992, Warmath worked with author Mike Wilkinson to publish a biography entitled The Autumn Warrior, Murray Warmath's 65 Years in American Football. I ordered it online through the Hennepin County Library System, and it's really a fun book to read. I learned a lot about Warmath and about those Gopher football squads. It helped me a lot in researching this. I liked it so much that I ordered a used copy on Amazon, so I've got my own now. I was highlighting it.
Cool.
Stuff, so... Okay, so Murray Warmath, although he was born and raised in Tennessee, remained in Minnesota after he retired from coaching. He still made public appearances well into his 90s, and he gave an extended interview as recently as 2007. And my research showed me that the Gophers locker room at Minnesota's Huntington Bank Stadium, which opened in 2009, is named after Warmath, which is a nice tribute.
Never knew that.
Warmath died on March 16th, 2011, at a retirement community in Bloomington, Minnesota, where he resided. He was 98 years old. It was a good run, as Rick Pitino would say. About those trophy games against Michigan and Iowa and Wisconsin, I checked with gophersports.com, the website for the U, to see how the Gophers have done against all 3 of these teams before Warmath, during, and after. Let's start with Michigan first. Before Warmath became head coach in 1954, in their 43 meetings against Michigan, Gophers had 14 wins, 27 losses, and 2 ties. So even before 54, Michigan had won twice as many games in head-to-head. 14, 27, and 2. We've mentioned the scores, but how do you think the Gophers did against Michigan during Warmath's 18 seasons at Minnesota?
Not very good.
Well, based on what we just went through, he had been under 500.
They went 7-11 against the Wolverines. Yeah. Respectable, competitive, considering how good Michigan has been.
Yes.
So 7-11. But since then, from 1972 to 2024, care to even take a guess?
Well, we only won twice, I think.
I think twice. Yeah.
The Gophers have beaten Michigan 4 times since 1972, but lost to since 72.
77, 87. They won early in 2000.
Yeah, Mason won once against them, I know. Mason and Jerry Kill won once against them.
Yeah.
I think that's the 4 wins. But they have lost to them since 1972 41 times. 4-41-0 since Warmath left.
Wow.
And there's no ties anymore in football, so you didn't get a benefit from that. So anyway, in the 106 meetings against Michigan, first game was played in 1892, and they no longer play Michigan every year, thank goodness. The Gophers have 25 wins, 78 losses, and 3 ties.
Wow.
25, 78, and 3.
Wow.
Michigan has won over 3 times more games.
I didn't realize it was that lopsided.
Okay, now let's look at Iowa. Gophers and Hawkeyes met for the first time in 1891. Overall, in their 118 games, Minnesota holds a lead of 63 wins, 53 losses, and 2 ties. So 63, 53, and 2. Before Womack became head coach of Minnesota in 54, in 47 meetings against Iowa, the Gophers had 33 wins, 13 losses, and one tie. 33-13-1. pretty dominant, yeah. Right? How do you think the Gophers did against Iowa during Womack's 18 seasons?
I don't want to say 500.
Yeah.
A little better. They went 10-7-1 when Womack was there. But here's where it changes. Since 1972, or from 72 to 74, the Gophers have beaten Iowa 20 times, but lost to them 33 times. Mm-hmm. So 20-33 since 1972. Iowa's definitely had the advantage. And then finally, Wisconsin. That's the longest continually played rivalry, as you guys know. Overall, it's 63-63-8. Yep. Right? Even. Mm-hmm. Before Womack became head coach in 54, in 64 meetings against Wisconsin, Gophers had 37 wins, 19 losses, and 8 ties. So big advantage, right? Mm-hmm. How do you think the Gophers did during Womack's years against Wisconsin?
I'd almost 18 say years. Slightly above 500.
Yep.
Actually, they went 8-9-1 against the Badgers, one below 500. But at least it was even. But since then, from 72 to 2024, Gophers have beaten Wisconsin 18 times, but lost to them 35 times.
Wow.
18-35 since 1972. Virtually twice as many wins for Wisconsin. I'm surprised it's that dominating.
Well, when you just look at Iowa has a built-in advantage being that's the only game in town. And even though when you look at Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State, mm-hmm. even though they're in states with professional teams, Ann Arbor, Columbus, Madison, mm-hmm. they're, you know, it's a big deal. I think the Gophers have always been at a disadvantage with the popularity of the NFL, you know. Being in a city with four major league teams.
Yeah. Yes.
I think has always been a detriment to them.
I did a podcast on Memorial Stadium and about attendance, and one of the conclusions I came up with, the Vikings' popularity came at the Gophers' expense. Mm-hmm. It's a Viking town. This is Viking country.
Yeah.
And so they're competing, like I said, against pro teams and the Vikings. It's
good. And with their lack of popularity, I completely agree with you guys. With their lack of popularity, their brand, the mm-hmm. Gophers' brand, is worth far less than the Badgers' brand, the Hawkeyes' brand, and certainly the Wolverines' brand. They're just, it's worth far less money.
Yeah.
We could talk all day about NIL and such, you know, but... Yeah.
I just thought it was really surprising that it's been that lopsided since yes. Womack left.
Really. Yes.
I mean, it just has.
Definitely.
Well, this has been fun, Dave and Tom. I had a blast researching for this podcast. GopherSports.com was helpful. GopherHole.com, that's the unofficial home of the Gophers sports. AmericanFootballDatabase.fandom.com and Wikipedia were big helps. And so was that book by Mike Wilkins, Autumn Warrior. Now that I have my own copy, if you guys ever want to look through it, you're welcome to have it. So, and of course, what really made all this research worthwhile was a chance to get together again with you guys to talk about Gopher football during the Murray Womack years from 54 through 71, one of the greatest eras in Golden Gopher football history. And you know, guys, the whole time that we've been sitting here on this Saturday afternoon talking about it, and as I was preparing for it, thinking about all the players, the great players that have worn the maroon and gold, I've tried to imagine our dad somehow just sitting here with us and listening. Because after all, it was dad's love of Gopher football that got us to love it too, right?
In a way, I'm
kind of dedicating this podcast to his memory. So.
Yes.
So thanks again, Dave and Tom, for joining me on this podcast. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
It was fun, Bob. Thank you.
And again to our listeners, thanks for hanging out with me, Bob Edholm, and my brothers, Dave and Tom Edholm. We hope you'll join us for the next episode of Hanging Out with Bob, wherever you get your podcasts. And until then, bye.